Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Farai.
This morning, as we come to the time for the message, a message that is entitled The Power of the Word, I would ask that you pray with me. Eternal Father in heaven, as I stand before your people, in a sense, I am keenly aware that I am limited in understanding, limited in delivery, but I am so glad that your Holy Spirit is available to aid me. And so, Lord, I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary. I ask that Christ and Christ alone be lifted up so that all men, women, boys, and girls may be drawn to him. Speak to us, O God, for we are listening. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. I must say that as I approached the message today, I didn't know where it would take me. And yeah, it was just interesting as I delved a little deeper into the message. Many a times we just take this text and we run with it. And I'm sure some of you are already saying, oh, I know where he's going with this. You know, we are going to get to hear, oh, the word of God is powerful. The word of God does crazy, amazing things. Maybe you are saying, well, I haven't seen that yet in my life. What's the hype about this word? To quote, it says here, the word of God is alive and it is active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's amazing. It's telling us here that the Word of God is living. It's not dead. It's living. It's organic. It's always relevant. The Word of God has precision. I mean, here we are told that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates, it cuts, it divides. And the things that are spoken of here, and let's not get caught up in trying to figure out soul and spirit or joints and marrow, but the point here is precision. When the Bible speaks about the soul and the spirit, sometimes we can't seem to make a distinction. They are used interchangeably. And so when the writer is saying the word of God is able to separate that which seems to be so inextricably intertwined, he is speaking to the ability of the word of God to cut through and divide what seems to not even be possible to divide. But again, like I said, you may be online today and you are saying, Pastor, I hear you. I ain't seen that yet. I'm not feeling the power. I'm not feeling, but let's take this slowly and come with me on a journey because this text is coming from somewhere. In fact, the text starts by saying, for the word of God, or because the word of God. And we know that we don't start with, you know, those that know English, you don't start with because, or you don't start by saying for. And so this passage here comes within a larger context. By the time the writer arrives here, the writer has said some stuff before, and he is using this to validate, to conclude, to help us to validate what he has said. But what is it that he has been talking about? And I am so glad for this morning's Sabbath school lesson, because the Sabbath school lesson is really the backdrop to this text. Before we arrive at this text, the writer has been talking about the experience of the children of Israel. You see, if we go back to verse 11, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. Well, Pastor, it's still not clear. Let's go back to verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his works, just as God did from his. If we go back a little further, we're going to discover that the writer of the book of Hebrews is actually quoting part of Psalm 95, where it gives a warning at the end of Psalm 95, where the psalmist again takes us back to the experience of the children of Israel who were not able to enter into the promised land because they did not believe the word of God. They did not believe the promises of God. We heard this morning in our lesson study that even though God had done miraculous things in their lives, he parted the sea, he parted the Jordan, he was a cloud by day, he was a pillar of fire by night, he rained quail on them, he made sure that they had manna. And when they were thirsty, he provided water out of rock. And yet, the word of God tells us that after the spies had been sent in and they brought back the report, and Joshua and Caleb said, God has given us this land. Let us go in and let us possess it. The other 10 said, oh no. This land devours people. This land has walls that go up to the skies. And we have seen the descendants of Anak, the giant. We can't do it. Forget this. We saw with our own eyes. We are not able to do it. And even though Caleb and Joshua pleaded with them, we all heard this morning, they were now even ready to find another leader to take them back to Egypt. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews recounts the story and reminds his hearers. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19, it actually gives the summary, but let's just allow the word of God to speak here. Let's start from verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold on to our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? And then now verse 19 sums it up and tells us why they were not able to enter. And the word of God says, and so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. They did not believe the word of God. Whose report are you going to believe? And now the writer then goes on in chapter 4 to say, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. I love how other versions put it. It says they did not combine the word of God with faith. They did not believe the word of God, and so the word of God became of none effect to them. Now let us remember, God's intention was for the children of Israel to enter Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise. Let us remember that the children of Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. And can you imagine what good news it was to be told that God was taking them to a land of freedom, a land of abundance? And now here, the writer of Hebrews is speaking to a community that is about to go back. The writer here now uses the rest, the blessing that God had promised to the children of Israel physically. And now he is saying to his hearers, God has promised another rest. And what is that rest? That rest is the rest whereby he has provided everything for your salvation. Just as Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, and the next day was the Sabbath, the writer of Hebrews here is saying, God did all the work, and all that Adam and Eve had to do was to enter and enjoy the fruits of the work that God had done in creation. What was going on with the church or the audience that the writer here was speaking to? You see, they were facing persecution, and some of them were about to turn back on what they knew. they were willing to forget about Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and they were going back to Judaism, where they would again sacrifice and slaughter animals. And the writer here is saying, don't be unbelieving like these children of Israel who failed to enter into the promises that God had for them simply because they did not believe. And he is saying to those that he is writing to, you have come to know Christ and his saving power because of his death on the cross of Calvary. Don't go back to the slaughtering of animals. They cannot save you. It's not the blood of animals that can save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what can save you. And so, he reminds us here, and he reminds his readers that just as the word was proclaimed to the children of Israel, the word of promise, the word that came to them through the different messengers, Moses, Caleb, Joshua, the word of God in whatever form it took, the word of God only becomes of effect if we combine faith with the word of God. And then now he says to them, God has provided you this rest, and we must strive to enter into that rest. And how do we strive and enter into that rest? We must not become unbelieving like the children of Israel who failed to realize the promises that God had for them because they chose not to trust God. They chose not to believe the word of God. And he's now here propping up, and he's saying, here is what you stand to lose when you do not combine faith with the word of God. You fail to experience its power, the power of the word of God, which is alive and which is active. In other words, he is saying here, when we do not allow the word of God, if we do not believe the word of God becomes of none effect to us. But if we will expose ourselves to the word of God and allow it to do its work, the word of God will do its work. And its work is described as the fact that it is a two-edged sword that penetrates and divides both spirit and soul, joints and marrow. Now let us recall that earlier on, the writer here had spoken about the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Oh, this heart of ours, it can be so deceitful. Sin can trick us. We can reach a point where we know what God says, but we make excuses as to why we should not follow God. And sometimes, if the truth be told, like the children of Israel, we are faced with a situation in our lives that seems to threaten our very being, just like those 10 spies who went out and they saw the high walls. They saw that they were seeing things. They actually saw those walls, then they were big walls. They saw the giants in the land, and they chose to allow fear to take over them than to believe the word of God that had said to them, I am taking you into the promised land and you are going to possess it. So what is the antidote against the deceitfulness of our hearts? Sometimes when we are faced with threatening situations in our lives, we are presented with a case that prompts us to make a decision. Am I going to go with God or am I going to go my way? Am I going to believe that God will see me through this situation, or am I going to take matters into my own hands and, like the children of Israel, say, we are getting another leader, forget you. We are going back to what we know, what we are comfortable with, what has worked in the past. You see, that's how deceitful sin can be. And we can even come to a point where we rationalize, where we give excuses, and good excuses for that matter. Good enough excuses to convince ourselves to continue in disobedience to the word of God. But then you see, here is where the word of God, in it being powerful and active and being able to penetrate, when we expose ourselves to the word of God will cut through our excuses. The word of God will cut through our rationalizing. The word of God will cut through to the deep intentions, the underlying intentions. You see, the word of God will not lie to us. Yes, we may lie to ourselves. We may believe the lie of Satan and of sin. But the word of God will expose what lies beneath and will show us that we are caught up in ourselves. And sometimes we make the choice to go with our ego than to go with the word of God. How many times have we found ourselves all up in ourselves? We know what to do, but we choose to go with our ego than to go with what God says. How many times have we found ourselves in a situation when we feel threatened and we don't believe that God can see us through the situation, and we, you know, the song Jesus Take the Wheel goes out through the window. We grab the steering wheel, I got this. And because of that, we fail to enter into the rest that God has given us. But if we allow the word of God, if we expose ourselves to the word of God, if we combine faith with the word of God, if we believe the word of God and trust the word of God, and hear me, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at myself. If we can trust God, believe him, we will enter into the promises and into the rest that he has promised us. Many of us are restless. We are restless. We are anxious. And whenever we feel restless and anxious, we must ask ourselves, are we attaching faith to the promise that God has given us for that situation? Or are we like the children of Israel, allowing the sinfulness, the sin to harden us? We are coming up with all kinds of excuses and rationalizations as to why we should not believe and follow God. And in fact, we are choosing to go with a different leader. So we fail to enter into the promised land. We fail to go into the promises and enjoy the promises that God has given us. Oh, I pray this morning, this afternoon, that each one of us may realize that God is calling us into rest. God is calling us to enjoy the fruit of what and the fullness of all that He has for us. I just imagine in my mind, if I had followed God on every point, where would my life be? How much better would it be? How much pain would I have been able to escape? The Word of God is active. It is alive. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. That's coming up close and personal. It judges. And the word judges here is used more in the sense of the Word of God assesses. It gives you a right evaluation of what is really underneath your excuses and my excuses. If we open ourselves to the Word of God, the Word of God will cut through all that and reveal to ourselves what is it that is really underneath it. Let's quickly finish here. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Every time I go to the dentist, in fact, when any of the family members goes to the dentist, you know, we always laugh at each other because sometimes I'll speak about myself, you know, I haven't flossed as much as I should, you know, between the visits. And a week or so before, you know, I'm trying to really, you know, get all up in there, you know, trying to... And you know, when you sit on that chair, it's a seat of judgment, and that inevitable question will be asked, have you been flossing? And at that moment, you can either lie or you can confess and say, hey, I not as much. And here's the thing. The dental hygienist knows. You can give whatever answer you want, but the dental hygienist knows. Your gums are all bleeding. They know. Oh, how I wish we could really understand that we have nothing to hide from God. He knows. We have nothing to hide from the Word of God. It penetrates, it cuts through, it discerns, it knows everything about us. So, God wants to bring us to the place of rest. He wants to bring us to the promised land. And don't miss that. You see, when you look at this text, it seems to be a text of judgment, and yet it's actually a text that is inviting us to say to us, believe God. Attach faith to His word. And when you trust Him, when you believe Him, His word becomes active and powerful. You open yourself up so that God can reach down into those areas where you can't reach. The word of God will shine a light in the dark places. The word of God will penetrate through all the excuses and the rationalizing that we can come with. And the word of God will reveal to us who we are. And when he reveals and we confess ourselves to that reality, then we can enter into the rest that he has given us. Then we can enter into the fullness of the promises that God has in store for each one of us. And so my word to you and to me, my brothers and my sisters, is let us trust God. Let's not be like the children of Israel. Let us believe him. And when we believe him, we shall enter into the promised land of the blessings that he has in store for each one of us. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we must confess, too often we've been like the children of Israel. The promise is given, but because of unbelief, they did not experience the realization of the promise. When faced with a threat, they chose to take the wheel. Forgive us, O God. Give us faith. Help us to trust your word. And as we do that, we shall find that your word will do the surgical work that it needs to do in our hearts and in our lives. And as we expose ourselves to your saving grace, we shall experience the rest that comes with it. Thank you for loving us enough to save us, desiring the best for each one of us. We surrender ourselves to you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church at 1024 Adams Street Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at www.bethelgr.com and the phone number is 616-243-3182. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.